Okay, what is Pnim Os Chavav? Hasher Asa Elokim Asa Adam Yashar. So there's a pasuk in Koheles in the 7th chapter. It says, Hashem made man straight, and we made life complicated. Life didn't have to be so complicated. If we would have just stuck to the plan, life could have been, like we were learning last time, the Yitzhahara tries to break everything into pratim, into prate pratim, and to make everything conflicting with everything else, and your whole life becomes one big mess of tying together all these disparate pieces. But a Jew is connected to Hashem Echad has a much easier time. So thematically, he kind of continues that idea tonight. So Asher asa Elokim asa Adam Yashar, Hashem made man straight thinking, Zeyira Shamayim. Veheima bikshu chashbonos rabim, that's the end of the pasuk. And they sought out many different calculations, la'avod al kol mida ba'ofen prati, to serve Hashem in each situation with some other thing. Meaning, if I just have Yirah Shamayim, if that's the reason why I do or don't do things, again, it's of a singular nature. We were learning about it last week. The Rashi at the beginning of Chumash, that when Hashem was creating the heavens, right, and there was some type of fluidity to it until Hashem roared at the heavens and solidified the heavens, and the heavens haven't changed since then. So that was the Sfas Amos' explanation. Why do we Yiras Shamayim? We should have the Yira like the Shamayim. The Shamayim took its place, and it's unchanging from that point forward. It doesn't have good days and bad days. It doesn't have different cheshbonos. So if a person has Yiras Shamayim, there's a certain yashus, a certain simplicity and straightforward thinking to one's ways. But when we enter into the world of cheshbonos rabim, so then all of a sudden I start to try to serve Hashem with each situation calls for a different response, as opposed to just the simple Kashar Tziva Hashem, God said so. And then things get really complicated. Ki ha'oved b'yirah shamayim nasameh kol avoda achas. When a person serves with yirah shamayim, then all of my life is one thing. My whole avoda is one thing. Hashem says yes, Hashem says no. I don't need any explanations, calculations. I don't need all the cheshbonos in the world. Shezeh inyan maimer ha-chacham. This is what the Chacham said. It's a line from the Chovas HaLevavos. A beautiful tefillah. It's a four-word tefillah. You could practice it yourself. Hamakom yatzileni mipizor ha-nefesh. Hashem, please save me from what? From pizor ha-nefesh. From being scatterbrained. From having my neshama being pulled in so many different directions. The Bar Tanura quotes it on Pirkei Avos, on the Mishnah of the second parak, Mar Bedaiga. Right? A person has more money, more problems. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So he writes on the words Mar Bedaiga, Rav Adya Bar Tanura writes in his Perush on Pirkei Avos, he quotes this line from the Chovas HaLevavos. Hashem, please save me from Pizor HaNefesh. I'm involved in too many things, I'm all over the place, and it's a very scary thing. It's a very scary thing. So the goal is that a person should have a oneness to his avoda. Right? It's interesting that the lashon of the tefillah is hamakom yatzileni. Interesting to call Hashem hamakom, right? Meaning I should know my place. I shouldn't be in too many places. There's a Rashi in Chumash that shelo yehalibo chalok al hamakom, that my heart shouldn't be divided on the place, but also shouldn't be divided in terms of hamakom, in terms of my relationship with Hashem. Sometimes I look at Bava Kama and Bava Metzia and Bava Basra as three different entities, as opposed to saying, "What do you mean? It's all Torah Hashem. There's a oneness to it. My tefillah has to fit with my learning, has to fit with my tzedakah, has to fit with my shmiras einayim, has to fit with my Shabbos. If I see it all as part of one big wholesome system, so then life is much more straightforward. But when I start to say, well, you know, I want to put more time into my davening, but it's coming out of my learning, making cheshbonos, then life gets really complicated. And I never have a clarity of what's what. And it leads to a pizor hanefesh, which is one of the great traps of the Yetzirah, to be all over the place, to lack yishuv hadas. Bitachon and Yishuv Adas, the Chovas HaLevavos say, go together. If I believe in Hashem with a clarity, then I have Yishuv Adas. If I don't believe in Hashem enough, so then I'm too busy trying to maneuver all the time, trying to make moves. Want to say something? Listen.
Didn't we discuss recently Hamakom, like he came up somewhere
in Chumash? Hamakom, yeah, how did it come up?
I don't remember, but it sort of relates to this. Just give me. I don't remember the exact thing.
Hashem is Makom, Makomo Shel Olam. I don't know.
What was it?
Hmm? Ah.
Did it have to do with the rocks?
With the rocks coming together?
Yeah,
but
didn't it say
a
makom or something?
Maybe. Well, you forgot the makom. He encountered the place, yeah. Back in Vayetze, Yaakov came to the makom. I mean, it was in the makom mikdash, but... And the stones coming together, that's also... Taking disparate things and recognizing that from a Beis HaMikdash perspective, there's a oneness to everything. Beis HaMikdash was a place of Yura. Right? There's a mitzvah of Mora Mikdash, an awe and a fear that a Jew has when he walks into Beis HaMikdash. So he's saying Yura Shemayim is that constant in our lives. If I have Yura Shemayim, then I always make the right choice. If my Yura Shemayim is shaky and I'm making different, you know, cheshbonos, so then I end up being all over the place. Okay, he's going to continue this theme. It's going to keep going. Chav Zayin. Ein lispa, this is a great one. Ein lispa mimash anu roon b'nei odom she'en lemir ha-shamayim. Don't be bothered by the fact that you see certain people who mamish live their life kiilu there's no God in the world. As if there's no Hashem. No yir ha-shamayim whatsoever. Ki bevada itzarech lira me Hashem yisparach asher hu borei kol ha-olamim hu meloch kol ha-aretz kavodo. Because you have an obligation. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. You have to know to stand before Hashem, Shivisi Hashem Lenaiti Tama, to live with the awareness of Hashem, that Hashem is creator of the world and Hashem fills all of the world. But the problem is when you see a lot of people who don't believe in God, so then it starts to grind against the person. It grinds against your emunah. And you're confused by it. If it's so obvious that Hashem exists, so why do so many people not believe in Hashem? So what do you do with all these people who don't believe in Hashem? That's the question. Ve'elu b'nei Adam she'ein lehem yira. How can it be that a person doesn't have yira shemayim? How's it possible? Ve'pnei she'ein lehem das. Because they don't have deep thinking. Kamo shanu ro'im ha'yira gufanis kegon lishmor es atzmom yisakana sha'kol shomrim es atzmom. So he says, take for example a physical fear. Yeah, you're standing on a tall roof and you're looking over the edge and you're afraid of falling. Yeah, normal people would be afraid of that, would be careful about that. They would be shomer themselves from that sakana, something that any normal person would be guarded in. V'chein b'chol inyanei haguf, sh'adam shomer es b'riuso. The same thing is true for anything of the body. Let's say a person is careful about their health, umamono, and they're careful about how they spend and how they save and how they invest. U'v'chol zos, mishu chaser dea, rachmana litzlan. If God forbid a person is lacking a deep understanding of things, eino shomer es atzmo v'holech l'makom sakana. So the person who's not deeply connected to his life, or deeply connected to the reality of what's around him, so he spends his money irresponsibly, and he eats foods which he knows are damaging to himself, and he does risky things just for the thrill of it, even though he's mamish putting his life in danger. V'imroim shota kazeh. So now you see this guy, right? You see this person who's utterly irresponsible with their physical well-being. So she said, well, that guy, he's not afraid of anything, so I guess there's nothing to be afraid of. We say, this guy's nuts. This guy's not a normal person. He does stupid and dangerous things. Right? A normal person should still be afraid, despite the fact that you see this guy acting like a fool. You see a person who you know, wow, look at all these people, they smoke cigarettes. Right? So what? So now the fear is not real that a person's going to, God forbid, get lung cancer? Because a lot of people do it. A normal person makes the connection and says, what do you mean? This is poison. This is dangerous. This kills people. Right? You don't bring a proof from a fool. You don't look at the most foolish, you know, people and say, oh, look, from here you see, there's nothing to be worried about. No, these people, they're not thinking straight. Kein le'inyan yiras Hashem hi chachma. He quotes a lot of psukim, but they're not cited here. It's a pasuk in Iyov in the 28th chapter. Yiras Hashem hi chachma. Fear of God is wisdom. It takes understanding to know to be afraid. Again, it doesn't necessarily take high-level understanding, you know. So for a little baby, if you see he's about to touch something hot, you have to grab the child away. Once you're a couple years old, you understand. You see a fire, you're careful around the fire. V'rov ha'olam heim b'chezkas shotim. But most people are considered fools. You know why? Because if Yiras Hashem hi chachma, not enough people are thinking about their lives. And if you don't think about your life, you're not going to have Yiras Hashem. And if you don't have Yiras Hashem, so then you're okay. So then what? So that's going to have an impact on me. It does. It's true. When you see a lot of people living a godless existence, ki'ilu, there's no God, it has a hashpah on a person. But just pause for a second and say, why am I bringing my rayas? Why am I deciding what makes sense to me based on the most foolish people? The Gemara in Sota says, ein adam over avera elam kim nichnas abo ruach shtus. A person, every time we do an avera, it's a moment of insanity. It's undermining physical reality. V'chein amru chazal, em ein chachma ein yira. If you're not thinking, then yeah, you're not going to be God-fearing. The more a person thinks and meditates on the truth of Hashem, right? So the more you start to have real yirah shamayim, and you're afraid to do averas. You start to shake at the possibility of an avera. It scares you. V'chein le'inin yiras habusha. Again, we live in a world where people are, I think it's funny to disgrace themselves and do embarrassing things in public and to record it and to post it and to hope it goes viral. So the fear of shame, which is sometimes lost in the world, when a person, again, is a straight-thinking person, makiras boro, and he recognizes that he lives in the presence of Hashem, harei hu meivin asher kol mi she'en lo hadas lira v'livoy shmiromis Hashem yisbarach v'lo lisnai v'kalis rosh. So any thinking person, right, will understand that there's a way to act. And a person who's not thinking doesn't understand that there's a way that's called Kalas Rosh. B'pnei habush ha-sha'omid lefnei, melech ma'achem lachem, asher malo kol ha'aretz kavodo. It's one of the basic traits of a Jew. The Gemara says in Yuvamis, I think it's Daf Ayin Tes, the Gemara says that there's three traits that every Jew has. Rachmanus, busha, and a desire to do chesed. Jews have busha.
Who says
this? Gemara in Yuvamis Ayin Tes. All Jews are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. And the Rambam says, if you meet a Jew who doesn't have busha, like a Jew who's so crazy he'll do anything, doesn't care about embarrassing himself in the most, you know, lewd, perverse, and strange ways, the Rambam says, look into his lineage. He may not be Jewish. There's a chance he might not be Jewish. Rachmanis, that you're merciful. You have busha. Right? That there's a sense of shame or embarrassment to do certain things. Certain things I can't do, I'm just too ashamed in front of Hashem. And a desire to perform acts of chesed. Those are the three identifying qualities of a Jew. Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomlei Chasadim. I think it's Yuvamis Ayin Tes. So if a person, God forbid, doesn't have this, so who could behema mamish in lobusha? So you're like an animal that has no busha. Animals don't have to think about, you know, embarrassing themselves, whether it's, you know, relieving themselves in public or mating in public. There's no busha whatsoever. They walk around naked all the time. Right? So therefore, you don't look at an animal and say, like, well, you know, there's so many animals in the world, they don't wear clothing, so why should I wear clothing? Right? They do whatever they want in public, so why can't I do whatever I want in public? Ki ein odem mispal mimasha roa, turn over the page, habehem moshin emboshim. You're not moved by that. You don't say, oh, well, if animals, so many, you know, creatures in the animal kingdom don't have busha, so I shouldn't have busha. Because ein habar das mispal mimisha ein lo das. A person who's a thinking person is not moved, is not impressed, is not influenced by a person who's pashut not thinking. So you look at the world sometimes, and again, there's this spiritual pull away from Hashem. You say, well, you know, if God's so obvious, why don't people believe? The answer is because they're playing Fortnite all day. You're not thinking. If you don't think, how are you supposed to come to any conclusions? You know how much time Avram spent thinking? Avram Avinu sat and thought and explored and questioned, said, I know Hashem's out there. It has to be. It can't not be. It was so obvious. It had to be. And he thought about it. He thought about it until finally Hashem spoke to him. Mamish spoke to him. God spoke to him. But if you don't think, then you're never going to come to the right conclusions. You're not going to have Yiras Hashemayim. So why should we be influenced? Why should we be impressed? Yiras Hashem hi chachma. If you're not a thinking person, you're not going to have Yiras Hashem. And if you start to think about life, you know, not only when you're like at someone's funeral and like it's super clear to you like what's important in life as they give a eulogy for some guy, you know, but if we stop like in the regular flow of life and just think, then our Yiras Shamayim becomes increased. Ein chachma, ein yira. So don't be impressed. And don't be confused by the fact there are a lot of people in the world who don't have yira. There's a lot of animals in the world that don't have busha. So what? That's his point. Okay. Chavches. Misha yetzahara shalo kavush tachas yado. Yetzahara in check, in a certain area. It's under control. V'goder atzma begedarim. And he guards himself with all sorts of fences and rules for his own life. Shalo yuchal hayetzer limshol alav. To prevent the yetzer from ruling over him. Kigon, for example, ayidei shmiras einav or shmiras hadibor. Let's say a person works really hard to control his eyes, to control his thoughts, to control his speech. So you have to understand. Zeh ha'ish tzarech shmira gedola shalo yetzei chutz legeder shalo. Once you've put up certain fences, once you've already established yourself to be a certain type of person, so you need to be very careful that there's no cracks in your fence. You know what? Before we do chavches, let's read chavtes for a second. It'll make chavches, I think, more clear. Let's pause there for a second. Let's go to the next piece, and then we'll come back. Hamakab lo atzma li shamar me'eza inyan, chavtes, a person who accepts upon himself to be guarded in a certain area, tzarech shia b'shleimas hashmira. You need to be very guarded in that thing. If it's important to you, then you need to take it very seriously. You know why? He gives a simple mashal to make the point. She'im lo kein sovel hu mizeh yoser mimi she'eino shomer atzmo klal. Meaning, once you know something to be true, let's say you decide, right? There's a way that a Jew speaks. So once you know that, and you've started to work on that a little bit, you need to work on it. You need to work on it a lot.
It sounds more like Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah? Okay, Mashiach's coming to town.
Both have beards.
Yeah? So a person who accepts upon himself to work on something, meaning in other words, let's say you have a house, right? And there's a fence around the house. There's a big security fence around the house. So a little bit, the fact that you built such a big fence, what are you saying to the robbers? Oh, hey, there's good stuff behind this fence, right? The fence itself is revealing the fact that, hey, there's something of value here, right? Why else is there a fence? Why else is the security so intense? Yeah? So, amakablatz malishar mezad inyan, a person accepts upon himself to be guarded in a certain area, you better guard it really well. Because the fact that you're working on it, you're drawing attention to it. And that means the robbers, so to speak, are going to come looking for you. He quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sukkah, pirtza koreis laganov. A breach calls out to a ganav. It's more in Sukkah Chavav. A breach calls to a ganav. What does it mean, a breach? A breach means that there's supposed... A breach doesn't mean that there's no fence. A breach means a place where there's supposed to be a fence, or there was a fence, and now there's a crack in the fence. That's very attractive to the ganav. Because the fact that there's a fence means there's something chashuv on the other side. And now the ganav says, there's a breach in the fence. Now's a great opportunity to go through. Right? Pirtza nikra makom ha-meshumar u-mugdar... What is a pirtza? A breach means that there is a fence. There should be a fence. You don't call an area that's totally unguarded, totally, you know, wide open. You don't call that a breach. Breach means a place where there should be a fence, and now there's a lack there. There's a void there. There's some type of opening there. Ki haganav eino holech el l'makom ha-meshumar. The ganav doesn't waste his time going to places where there's nothing of substance, nothing of value to rob. The ganav dafka goes to a place where he sees it's guarded, which itself indicates there's something chashuv there, and he looks for a breach. He looks for an opening in the security system. He looks for a weakness. Shu maven shiesha malignov. He understands there's something to steal there. Al kein kishemotze pirta miznagev lisocha. So therefore, when he recognizes that there's a breach, right? So he tries to exploit the breach. So in other words, it's similar to a piece we learned a couple of weeks ago, where we learned how sad it is, and it's a sad but true reality, that the tzaddik, right, the tzaddik suffers more in ruchnius than the rasha. The rasha has it better in ruchnius, right? Because he's not bothered by the fact. It's a very deep piece. If you remember back in Ustaz Zion. Once you say it matters, once Shabbos is important to you, so you can't accept having a bad Shabbos. If you've trained yourself, davening doesn't matter. So don't worry about davening. But if davening matters to you, and you're not davening well, that weighs upon you. It makes you depressed. If Shmiras Einayim is a value, and you see yourself stumbling in it, so then you're upset at yourself. The guy who doesn't care. Kedusha is not a value of his. It doesn't bother him. Shabbos isn't a value of his. Getting to davening on time is not a value, or davening at all. Okay? So once you decide that this is important to me, you have to be very careful. Because the fact that you've made it chashuv, the Yitzhar says, oh, what's chashuv by him? Yitzhar wants to steal that. Yitzhar is very interested in that. Okay, so now let's go back to Chaf Ches. So again, with that introduction, Misha HaYetzer Shalo Kavosh Tachas Yadav. So now you built the strong security fence. Yitzhar is controlled by you. V'goder Atma B'gadar, and you made these good fences. Shalo Yuchal HaYetzer Lim Sholav. You really worked on yourself. You had a good long streak of guarding your eyes, of guarding your speech. I didn't speak Lashon Hara for so long. I was so careful about it. I distanced myself from any type of negative speech. But once you have that big fence, right, and it's been really good, strong security for a long time, that means the neighbors are wondering what's going on the other side of that fence. Yitzhar is wondering what's going on the other side. But Yitzhar is waiting for that moment that he'll be able to break through. Yitzhar is waiting for that moment that you're going to stumble, and he's looking to exploit that moment. Yitzhar can't wait around forever. In other words, the Yitzhara, if he sees your fence, and he sees your fence is solid, he's going to move on to the next guy. But if you allow yourself to show weakness after building that strong fence, the Yitzhara is going to be all over that. Yitzhara is going to wait for that moment, so to speak. If you're always behind the fence, he's not going to get through the fence. So he waits till you breach the fence, till you step out from within your own boundaries that you've established for yourself. Or like a lion who's fenced in, right? Let's say instead of putting yourself behind the wall, let's say you fenced in the Yitzhara. He's locked up. And he hasn't had anything to eat in a long time. Like a hungry lion. So as long as the cage is secure, the lion can be as hungry as he wants. You're safe. But if the lion hasn't had anything to eat in a long time, if your Yitzhara hasn't feasted on your averas in a long time, right? Rav Sakana Gedola Liskar Velov. You better make sure the fence is locked. You better stay. Don't get too close to the lion will grab you, literally through the bars. Kamaimra Kosiv Tsofe Rasha Litzadik Mavake Shlamiso. That's what David Melech says in Tehillim. Tsofe Rasha Litzadik. The Rasha is Tsofe. What does Tsofe mean? He's looking. He's the lookout, right? He's looking out for the Tzadik. He's waiting for that moment where the Tzadik lets down his guard. And he seeks to destroy him. And often we do feel destroyed. If I was really good about something for like a long time and I thought, I finally conquered this Yetzirah, I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara again. I can really say confidently I haven't spoken Lashon Hara in 6 months, and all of a sudden the person ends up speaking some terrible Lashon Hara. So they feel dead. Yetzirah got me, and I feel like the whole thing was fake. I didn't really change. So Yitzhar waits for those moments. He's Tzofel Rasha L'Tzadik. The Rasha is Tzofel. He's waiting for the Tzadik, longing to gobble him up, like a hungry lion who's been starved behind bars for too long. He's just waiting for the Tzadik to loosen the chain a little bit on the Yitzhar, and immediately he causes him to stumble. And that's what it means that we sometimes find tzaddikim who it occurs to them the behaviors of the wicked. Why is it sometimes that the biggest people make sometimes the biggest mistakes? I think the most chashuv people make the biggest mistakes because they're up against a hungry lion. The fact that they've starved their Yitzhara so much, when the Yitzhara has a moment to get them, he sometimes tries to take them out really, really chazak. So far, he's been waiting so long to get something to eat, he's mavakish la'miso, he wants to destroy you completely. But what's the next pasuk after Tzofer Rasha L'Tzadik? Rak Hashem lo yazvenu biyado. That's the next pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Zayin. Hashem lo yazvenu biyado. Hashem will not, it's Perek Lamed Zayin, pasuk Lamed Gimel, the next pasuk. That Hashem will not allow you to fall into his clutches. Because Hashem gave us something which is even bigger than the Yitzhara that gets a person after he thought he was finally past the Yitzhara. He thought the lion was secured in its cage, and the lion got out. And the lion's starving. Right? But there's a way to what? There's a way to overcome it, and that's called tshuva. Like the pasuk says, sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. It's possible that even a person who bamish was a tzaddik, who fell down, can pick himself back up. Very fitting that today was Chaf Kislev. It's the art site of Rav Yitzchak Huttner's Zatzal. So Rav Huttner has a famous piece in the Pachad Yitzchak where he talks about this pasuk. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam is not that despite falling down you got back up. Sometimes a person dafka became the tzaddik because he got back up. It's not, well, despite the fact that he fell, he got back up. No, he reached new heights. He got stronger by getting himself back up. Right? It's not he's a tzaddik and he happens to have also got him back up. He became a tzaddik because he got back up. So we're putting the rights in a letter. Masha'en ke misha'en goder atzmo klal. You know why the Yitzhahara doesn't have to, a person who's not so guarded, you know why the Yitzhahara doesn't get those, you know, again, sometimes the biggest people have end up with making the biggest mistakes. Why should that be? If they're such a chashuv person, they should never make the big mistakes. Once in a while, they should make the small mistakes. But the Yitzhahara is so hungry to take them out, he'll get them to do really crazy things sometimes. As a opposed to a person who's not guarded at all, the Yitzhahara is not in any rush to take this guy out. You know why? Because he can get him whenever he wants. This guy's easy. Right? It's the big tzaddikim who sometimes suffer the most because the Yitzhahara is waiting and waiting and waiting. He's been doing intel on the tzaddik for years. He's waiting for that moment to get him. And then Imamish causes him a mapala. He knocks him down really strong. The person who's not guarded at all, the ain't Yitzhar Mamaher Lachtil. Yitzhar has no rush to take him out with the big chait. Kevin Shu Tamid Biad Yitzro. He's a slave to the Yitzhar. But the tzaddik who's guarded, the one who's trying to be good, and again, this is, you know, it's a sad catch-22. Like, I want to be good, but being good comes with the responsibility of being good. If, you know, ignorance is bliss. Right? If I don't learn the halachos, so then I can say to Hashem, I didn't know that was something I was supposed to do. When I start to learn the halachos, now I have to do the halachos. It's amazing. I have a sefer at home from the Spinka Rebbe from Bnei Brak. It's called Tzichus Kodesh. So he said in our mashal, he said, not a mashal, just an idea. He said, the only study that requires action is Torah. And then let's say you decide, yeah? Let's say Nathan goes to law school, right? And he finishes, graduates, and then he decides, you know what? I don't want to be a lawyer. There's nothing that obligates him to be a lawyer. He put in all this time and money. Okay. But he doesn't have to be a lawyer. He could say, you know what? Deep down inside, I always wanted to be a musician. I was talking to someone yesterday who's studying to be an engineer and started playing bass guitar recently. And I said to him, I said, like, I feel like a little bit you want to, like, drop the engineering thing and, like, become a musician. And a little bit you saw, like, the twinkle in his eye, you know? Like, of course he's good. He's like, it's a good backup plan, you know? But, like, the fact that I went to engineering school doesn't mean I have to be an engineer, right? Went to a medical school. I don't have to be a doctor. But if you learn Torah, you have to do what you learn. You can't say, well, I learned the halacha, but I'm not going to do it. You can't, that's not an option. Once you know it, you're expected to do it. You're expected to live it. Right? So the study itself is mechayev of a person. So ignorance is bliss. So I don't wanna get involved. I don't wanna take anything seriously. I don't wanna build these fences, because when I build the fence, then I have to really put in a lot of money to make sure there's no breaches in the fence. But you know what? What would you rather be? Would you rather be a rasha or a tzaddik? Would you rather have the suffering of the tzaddik? Would you rather have the fake bliss of the rasha? And that's part of what this sefer is about. He's trying to encourage us that, yeah, work on the real things in avodas Hashem, even though it's hard, but it's worth it.
By suffering the tzaddik, do you mean like not being able to do what you want?
Yeah, it hurts to be a tzaddik. See, we don't have to pretend that tzaddikim. The Gemara says the opposite. The Gemara says tzaddikim have a bigger yetzirah than us. Mm-hmm. Very hard to understand. Right? It's hard to imagine that Rav Shechter has the same taivas that I have. That's very hard for me to imagine. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the bigger the tzaddik, because the Yitzhahara is the, remember this mashal, the hungry lion. He wants so badly to get the tzaddik because the tzaddik is scoring so many points against him that he so badly wants to, like, get him back really strong. The person who's not guarded, the Yetzirah says, I don't have to waste my time with this guy. I can get him whenever I want. But the big aver is, if I'm going to get someone to do the big aver, I want to get the tzaddik to do the aver. I want the big tzaddikim to mess up. Okay? Yeah, it's not so easy, but it's worth it. All right, lamed. Let's just do a drop more. Mashal le'echad shoholich b'derech. Imagine a person's walking on the road, and he realizes, and again, this is all one sugya tonight, chavav talamed. The person's walking on the road, and all of a sudden he realizes that he's being followed. He's looking over his shoulder, and he sees this guy's been trailing me for blocks. Right? And the guy who's walking down the street knows that he's carrying an attaché case filled with diamonds. And this guy's been following me for a while, and it's becoming obvious this guy is... He's following me because he wants what's in my bag. So imagine a person is walking, a person's traveling, and he's carrying with him Avanim Tovos, Margalios, V'hirgish B'listim Sheholcha Me'achav, and he starts to realize this band of robbers has been trailing me for blocks. And any minute now they're going to attack me. U'v'chol Esher Yifanahim Pois Me'achav, and wherever he turns, they follow after him, step by step. They're literally walking right behind him. V'eini Yodei L'shis Eitzos B'nafshi, he's scared for his life, he doesn't know what to do with himself. What am I supposed to do? So he comes up with a plan. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a diamond, and I'm going to drop it, or I'm going to throw it in that direction, and I'm going to start running the other direction. Right? And Mistama, hopefully, they'll bite the bait, and they'll go for the one diamond that I dropped. And I'll be able to buy myself a little space to get away. So he throws one diamond down. Halistim naflu al metziya. So the listim, immediately they jump on this great find. Ah, oh, he dropped a diamond. Uvarchu l'darcham, and then they take it and, they get out of there before the guy realizes, because he, pretended to drop this diamond. Va'oz barach ha'ish l'nafsho, and then while they're busy chasing the diamond, he runs off in the other direction. V'nitzlam in a listim, and he saves his life. Sound familiar? Sar la'zazel, right? Yom Kippur is the day we're trying to do the biggest things. We got to get the Yetzirah out of the way. So we give him a little Sar la'azazel, whatever that means, to get the Yetzirah away. V'zeh sod ha'sar la'azazel b'yom Kippurim. Now, here's the problem. The problem is, I can't choose on my own to make Sar la'azazels. Right? I can't negotiate with the Yetzirah. I can't say Yetzirah, okay, you want me to do a lot of eros. I want to be a good Jew. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do one Avera, and then you're going to leave me alone for the rest of the week. Right? Sar la'azazel. You can't do that. You don't have rishus. You're not allowed to negotiate like that. Now, it happens to be, I want to be fair, it happens to be there are sources that actually say one could actually do that. And on a psychological level, that might actually be a good technique. Right? So if a person is nichshol every day in something, so they say, okay, I'm going to be nichshol once a week. I'm going to try to wean myself off of whatever this, negative behavior is, right? If I always eat cheeseburgers, so I'm going to try to eat cheeseburgers on one day a week to try as a technique. There may be some room to actually negotiate in halacha like that. Obviously, it's a very delicate thing. But the pashtus is, right? The pashtus is, I can't, right? Again, that may be a helpful realistic way to get away from averos, but I'm not allowed to do the one avero. Right? Not allowed to offer sar la'azazel. I can't say to my Yetzirah, you want me to do a lot of avodah zarah, so I'll do a little of avodah zarah. Let's call it a day. I'm not allowed to be maskim to a little bit of avodah zarah. Yeah?
It feels more like a means to an end than the end itself. Like you do the weaning off.
Right. No, so again, we understand why it makes sense. Right. So practically, again, we understand why that would make sense, and you're working towards it. We have a concept, mitoch shalo lishma ba lishma, right? I'm allowed to learn Torah in an imperfect way to hopefully come to a more perfect way. So maybe this is a step in the right direction. But on a certain level, sari la'azazel, again, you read the Rishonim, what is this thing? What on earth are we talking about? These two goats, and one is Lashem, one is Lazazel, and I throw it off a cliff, and I'm offering it to the Sitra Achra. What are we talking about? We believe in these things. It's mamash and avodah zarah, practice kilo. And that's what he writes here. He says, v'chol zeh, ain't over shai ba'atzva laso sar lazazel. You can't just make up sar lazazel. You're literally feeding the Sitra Achra. L'charchila. That's part of the mitzvah hayom. It's part of avodas yom kippurim. Only God could tell you that you're allowed to do sarah lazazel. You can't choose on your own to do sarah lazazel. It's literally, it's idol worship. It's completely foreign. If God didn't tell us to throw that goat off the cliff on Yom Kippur, we could never do such a thing. It's only with Hashem's sivoy that it becomes mutter. However, look what he writes here. It's beautiful. Al kol panim, yesh lilmod mizeh, b'sha shayetzer machshel be'ezeh kishalon rachman al-etzlan. When a person has a kishlon, when a person does stumble, right? You can't lecharchila say, I'm doing sarah lazazel today. I'm giving in to my Yitzhahar. I'm not even going to fight. It's too hard to fight. I'm giving in to Yitzhahar on Sunday, but I promise not to do this aver on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. You're not allowed to choose that. You have to fight every day. But let's say you did mess up on Sunday. And this technique is so chashev, and you're allowed to use this. Right? After the fact. You tried to fight, and you did mess up. You did the aver. So now, after the fact, right? After the fact, you could say, sarah lazazel. Leave me alone the rest of the week. You hear? I think that's such a chashuv psychological technique. Again, look at the words again. Al kol panim, yesh lilmod mizeh. B'sha shayetzer machshel be'ezeh kishlon rachman al-etzlan. When a person does, you are nechshel, you messed up. V'libo shel adam nishvar mizeh. And you feel upset about the fact that I should have won the battle, I should have controlled myself, and I spoke to Lashon Hara. I said the nasty thing. I thought to myself, I shouldn't say this, but it was geschmack, so I said it. And now I feel bad. Why did I speak about that person? What's wrong with me? Why am I talking about other people? So now, the bottom line is, you didn't really have permission to throw that goat off the cliff, or going back to our original mashal, right? You didn't necessarily, again, let's say you're, they weren't your diamonds, you're just the employee. Okay, maybe your employer would give you permission to throw the diamond to save your life. But you didn't really have permission to throw down that one diamond. It wasn't your diamond to throw down. So you didn't really have permission to do that one avera. But the bottom line is, once you did that avera, what happens? So to speak, the sitra achra is grabbing onto it. The sitra achra, the etzahar, is distracted by the avera, by that diamond that's lying in the dirt now, right? Because you took a part of your kochos and nefesh and you threw it in the dirt. So now the Yitzhar is trying to pick it up. So now is an opportunity for you to run for your life. The same way that in our mashal, the guy threw down the diamond and then he took off. The same way the sarah la'azazel distracts, so to speak, the kochos atumah on Yom Kippur to allow us to serve Hashem. So we can't make sarah la'azazel, but if we accidentally made a sarah la'azazel in our life, so now this is a good opportunity while the Yitzhar is distracted and celebrating his great success that he got your avera. While he's feasting on that avera, run the other way. Oz hazman mukhshar l'tshuva, ki hayetzer nofel oz al metzia. The Yitzhar has fallen on that metzia, trying to gobble it up. Uvareach l'nashah, it's a chance for you to escape. Al zman katzar. V'alkein yuchal ha'odem oz tekev ligdur atzmo hetev, shalo yishla lav yetzer od pam. And while the Yitzhar is busy being distracted, right, by that avera that you fed him, run for your life. You didn't have permission to do the Avera. But instead of standing there feeling bad, oh yeah, yeah, I did this Avera, let the Yitzhar, feast on the Avera, and you get out of there. And call it a Bidyevet Sarah Lazazel. It's a very powerful idea, and it's such a powerful idea. Instead of feeling after the fact, like, okay, so I'm a bum, I'm probably going to end up doing it again. And say, no, I didn't want to give the Yitzhar anything this week. I messed up. But instead of feeling all depressed and I messed up, say, okay, that was my Sarah Lazazel for the week. And now, Yitzhar, you have what to eat. Leave me alone. And run for your life. I think it's a gewaldic. It's a gewaldic technique. Okay, last piece for tonight. Lamed Aleph. Last little one. Pligi b'gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara is a machlokas. We know this machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. When was the world created? Chad Amar b'nisa nivra ha'olam. V'chad Amar b'tishrei nivra ha'olam. What does it mean? Al pipnimius nisa and tishrei. Harem is b'zeh. Nisa is the lashon nisayon. She'ikr ha'avoda la'amod b'nisyonos. What's the ikker? Where is the world created? So one opinion says Nisan. Right? When you're in that Nisayon, if you're Omid ben Nisayon, that's how you become great. Pass the test. Avram Avinu had 10 tests. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, he was Omid b'kulan. He withstood all of them. Okay, gevaldik. So some say passing the test, being Omid ben Nisayon, is what is Nivra Ha'olam. That's how you build your world. V'chad Amar b'tishrei. But one says, no, Tishrei. What is Tishrei? Tishrei, he says, is a Lashon Haschala, Perish. Hagam Shabalo Nisayon V'lo Amad Bo Yasa Haschala Mikanu Laba. And one opinion says, nah, it's not realistic to say that life is going to be defined as the Nisyonos you passed. You're really going to build yourself in your response to the Nisyonos you failed. Are you able to be a Tishrei? Are you able to what? To pick yourself up after you messed up. That's really going to define your success or your failure. Everyone's going to mess up. Ein tzaddik ba'abaret asher yaseh tova lo yachta. Every tzaddik messes, everyone messes up. The question is, do I know how to catch myself when I mess up? And do I know how to use that yirid l'tzorach aliyah? Do I know how to grow? Do I know how to turn it into that bidyeved tzar la'azazel we were just talking about? Right? Or am I too broken from the fact that I messed up that I end up messing up more? So one opinion says, it's the nisyonos you pass that define your life. Right? But one opinion says, no, betishrei. Lashon haschala. Hagam shabalo nisyon v'lo amad bo. Yasa haschala mikan leba. Start over, start fresh. L'kabla atzmo, shemeata yamad b'nisyonosav. It's the response after the failure that defines a person. V'afilu kama pam lo amad al nafsho. And even if you fell many times, right? So you say, I can't start fresh. Start fresh. Believe that you can. Sheva yipul tzaddik v'kam. Again, the pasuk in Mishlei. The tzaddik falls seven times, and he became a tzaddik because he was a Tishrei type of Jew. He kept starting over. And of course, when is the gula? Is the gula in Nisan? Is the gula in Tishrei? The answer is the gula is in both. Right? The gula comes from a person who knows how to fail is the type of person who's going to start winning the battles. But a person who doesn't know how to fail in an Ehrlich way, in a Jewish way, and how to handle failure and to not be broken by it, but to be, you know, to be inspired from your failures to do better next time. So a person who has that attitude is actually going to be able to come to Nisan, to be Omer B'Nisayon. And then Nisan, of course, is the Zman of Gula. Then a person goes free from the Yetzirah. Yeah.
Nisayon is osios
nesiavan. Nisayon is osios nesiavan. It's true.
I'll explain.
It's true.
Well, they say like yesh chachma v'goyim, like Dwayne Wade said, something like fall down 8 times, get up 9.
There you go.
He added one.
He's trying to outsmart Shlomo Amalek. All right. Yeah, Amalek tries to keep us down. Look at Sheva Yipol Tzadivakam. Look at the last four letters. Says Amalek. See, Sheva is an ayin, Yipol is a lamed, Tzadik is a kuf, Vakam is a mem. Amalek tries to say, you fell down, so stay down. You're a bum. You're no good. But a Jew picks himself up. Yeah, Nisayon is Nes Yavan. In this week's parsha, when Yosef, like Reweinberg was talking today, when Yosef HaTzadik defeats Eshes Potiphar, what does it say? It says Vayanas, right? So the word Vayanas is also very much a word we think about, right? Yavan tries to take the Yud, which is the Yid, and drag him down to Vav, and then drag him down further to Nun. So Vayanas is reversing that process, right? Assuming that you're starting in Nun, you're starting in Eshes Potiphar's grasp, Mamish, literally in our hands, right? And then Vayanas, you push it from a Nun back up to a Vav, which is really Yosef, and then up to a Yud, which is Yaakov, and then Nes, Vayanas, Vav, Yud, Nes. You reverse the process of Yavan, and then you see miracles in your life. Yavan's trying to pull you down into a world of Teva, but a person who moves from the Nun, which is, you know, below the line, back up to a Vav, which rests on the line, to a Yud, which is Lamalim and Atevim, the only letter of the Hebrew alphabet that floats in the sky, then Vayanas, then you're Zochet to see Nisan. And that was Yosef. Yosef is Zochet to Nisan. Why did the Yamsov split? The Gemara says, Hayam Ra'a Vayanas. Right? Split because it saw the bones of Yosef at Tzadik. The water said, if Yosef, a young handsome man being seduced in Mitzrayim, can make the right choice, then the water says, then I can also overcome my ways, which is to be in my place.
You just did that with we said Yosef was like the best looking, and then we all three, so if you could look at them and say they were able to do it.
That's right, if they could, you could do it. That's why Sam is in this week's parsha. Yeah. Right. Hillel, Yosef, Elazar. V'hi shamda. Hillel, Yosef, Elazar. The schus of Yosef and Elazar. Yitzadikim, who did, right? Hashem, he takum. Hashem's advice is look at these three and pick yourself back up. If they did it, you can do it too. All right? We should be strong Jews who make good choices. Shkoyach.